Yes. Well, good morning, friends of Hope Chapel and Huntington Beach, and those who are watching via live stream. My name's Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel. This is an outstanding day in two ways. One, this is a very honorable Sunday, and this is a historic Sunday. Honorable because on this service, on this occasion, we are participating in the will of God by extending the kingdom of God. We're about to launch a brand new Foursquare church. We're planting a new church. That's what's happening today. That's the honorable thing we're doing. We are agreeing with God, and He so graciously and wonderfully is enabling us to do it with tremendous gifts, those gifts being people. It's historic because in the 87 years of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach Foursquare Church, there has never been a time where this church has released the lead pastor as a woman. And so you're seeing history being made. Yeah. Yep. Pastor Noelani Jai will be the lead pastor of this church plant in Westminster, California. Fantastic. The only other time that this church has experienced a woman lead pastor was when, in 1925, two twin sisters, Nellie and Ryan, came to Huntington Beach to start a revival. And they rented the storefront from a guy named Howard Smith on Main Street. And then it was in 1931 that this church was chartered. So we thank God for the women. Those two girls were only 19 years of age. And we thank God for their dedication and for the dedicated ones that are going to be launching a brand new church ministry. So I've now just greeted you. I'm thankful that you're here. You are part of the honorable and historic day that this is. This is a tremendous opportunity for us to enjoy something that has not happened in a long time. You'll see in your program that is presented to you the outline of today's service. So upon conclusion of the service at 11:30, we're hoping to enjoy a tremendous and wonderful light luncheon. So with that in mind, I want to invite you now. Let's welcome the presence of the Lord. Would you stand to your feet? We have participating dueling worship leaders, Paul Jai from Jesus House, our new church launch. David Liu, our newly appointed worship director, and we're grateful here, Huntington Beach, Hope Chapel. So, Father, we want to just thank you now and welcome your presence because we need you. We love you. Because of what you have done in our lives personally, the true church is those who have been blood-bought by Jesus Christ, and how that each person's body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are consecrating the church being people. So, Almighty God, come make those things new and wonderful, renewing to our hearts. You're welcomed in this place. And we do all this for your glory in obedience to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen. Thank you, dear. Thank you. be seated. Once again, welcome. We want to make sure as you're seated, if you would mind making sure all personal items are put below you so we have adequate seating. And if you can and you find a seat that's near you, if you could slide toward the center. We like to do at this time the SOS. How many know what that is? Scoot over some. Because we want to make sure we have adequate seating for people that will still be coming. Well, once again, welcome. My name's Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel. This is a wonderful opportunity, as I described, once again, honorable and historic. We are going to launch a brand new four-square church called Jesus House in Westminster. The lead pastor will be Reverend Noelani Jai, and we're so excited about that. First time in 87 years that we have a woman lead pastor that we will be releasing from this church. We're thrilled about that. This wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the dedication of Hope Chapel. So I want to take the opportunity to recognize the team that is really the supportive role. Many times people say, well, boy, this is great, Pastor Paul, is some of your visions coming about, and therefore thank you for just launching. But I recognize that for those of us who will continue to remain here at Hope Chapel, the responsibility of building the kingdom will remain to continue to support. And therefore, as we launch and plant a church, it's also important that we recognize if anything has been ever planted, you know that it constantly needs nourishing and caring and support. So I want to recognize some people that we recognize too as honorable individuals that are present. First of all, our missionaries from El Salvador that we launched 4 years ago, I'd like to have that family stand. Pastor Jared and Kelly Mueller, along with their sons, Ezra and Benjamin, would you stand? And I want to have us greet you and welcome you. I'm going to actually, if you don't mind, we want to just say how excited we are that you are also church planters and will be bringing an address to us this morning. So Ezra, thank you too. You may be seated. The next round of names I would like, as I'm reading now the names, you hear your name, please come forward. I want you to stand in front of the stage. Just make a stand, because not only our church council, not only our missions committee, but our church staff have played a significant role to make this day happen and will continue to make a significant contributions for years to come. So I want to make sure that we are aware that these are the individuals that are supportive, that have spoken their blessings. And though it is a moment where we launch and release people into their calling, we still have a calling as a church. Let me first pay tribute to and invite the church council to come forward and stand before us. That would be Bob Pickens, Donna Thompson, Ed Mountford, John Yunt. Please come forward as you hear your name. Lisa McCurdy, Pam Birch, Linda Shaw, and myself. Would you come forward, church council? We're grateful. I'm inviting too, we're going to be having some photographs taken, and if you will want to have these clips, and I've asked Ainsley to make sure as we continue on. Our missions committee, Jason Mendoza, please come. Kathy Petruna, Wayne Palika, Gail Yunt, Mike Mitchell, Sean Hersey, Rochelle Kuhn, and myself. I want to also include at this time our pastoral staff. That would be Andre Mansour, Ainsley Harmon, Kimo Walls, Lori Walls, David Liu, who's leading us in worship, Caitlin Mansour, David Van Skyock, Michelle Van Skyock, Donna Watt, Victor Vicio, Jessica Aguilar, Stacy Hardacre, Leah Garza, and Tom Spalsbury. Now, there are a number of other names that we would not have room for naturally because of our bulletin space, but I want you to recognize this team that really is making this possible, that are supporting their lead pastor, Paul Harmon. And I want to give God thanks for what you see before you. These are the individuals that are making it happen and speaking their blessings and putting forth the hours and time. So could you just thank them as well? So as they find their seats, I'm going to invite you to stand up from your seats. We're going to get back into a couple more songs of worship. Would you stand? Let's enter into praise once again.
The silence, the roar. is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't
friends, while you remain standing, a part of worship oftentimes in so many of the church, the Lord Jesus, over the century has been times when the congregation had scripture response, and we're about to do that. So that's why I'm inviting you to remain standing. The passage that's been selected is from the Psalms. Often, many felt that when King Solomon was dedicating the very first temple, that not only did he have his speech, not only did he have his prayer, but then he also had a visitation of God. But it's a powerful time in both books of Kings as well as Chronicles that mentions how the people rejoiced. Today, we're transitioning this service time because we're not consecrating a structure. That's no longer the occasion with which the church since the day of Pentecost. The 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that we are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk missions in regards to building more churches. That means people receiving Christ and the Holy Spirit coming into them. That's what mission is all about. Having people filled with the Holy Spirit, being born again, renewed. Because God does not make pleasure in just occupying buildings. He would prefer to have relationship with you who are here. That's a reminder. So we just take the words as well. With 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says that you are living stones. You are being built together to make a living structure, a beautiful house of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's why at this time, as we do our scripture reading, in preparation for the building of the house called Jesus' house, being people Let me read from Psalm chapter 136. There is a response that's given in this chapter. You'll see it on the overhead. And you can see very clearly your response will always be, "For his mercy endures forever." And as King Solomon was having this read, he was telling everyone and asking God, whenever they turned toward this temple, whatever sin they would have committed, however great God is, "Remember, O Lord, your mercies are great. Forgive us. May we be acceptable in your sight." Let me read the passage, and please respond each time you see and hear me pause. Verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters." Verse 23, "Who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven." Let's repeat that again. "For his mercy endures forever." Again, "For his mercy endures forever." This church will be built by his mercy. Let's bless the Lord. Would you join me for a moment and offer worship to God? Lord, we exalt you. You're merciful. You're merciful through Jesus. And we thank you, Almighty God. Well, at this time, we want to just thank our young people who are part of our children's chapel. We're going to dismiss them, but the rest of you, we're going to invite not only to greet each other, but if I could ask the leadership team of Jesus House to assemble and come to the front of the stage. Let's greet each other. Would you bless them as well and say, "God's merciful. God's merciful."
Chapel. Hope Chapel? Good morning. Hope Chapel and Jesus House. Woohoo! It's crowded in here. Well, I'm Pastor Noelani Giant. I am so pleased this morning to be able to introduce you to our leadership team. And I'm going to start, if you'll just kind of wave when I read your name, with our council. We have George Alderman. Is that not a perfect name for a councilman? George Alderman. Mrs. Linda Byers. Jeremy Diulo. Mrs. Tabitha Hyde. And Robert Sato. I'd like to introduce you to our associate pastor, Matthew Hyde. Ed Jai, the operations guy. Megan Diulo, our administrative assistant. Our worship, sound, and media director, Paul Jai. Director of our family groups, Nathan Hanning. Our children's ministry, our Jesus House Kids directors, Tabitha Hyde and Taylor Johnson. Our Jesus House youth directors, Mr. and Mrs. Hyde. Our Jesus House meals director, I don't see him up here, Mark Johnson. Our director of prayer ministry, Robert and Patience Sato. Director of our Alpha Outreach Ministry, Teresa Okamoto. Director of our mom's ministry called Fill Your Cup, Nicole Zhukov. Woo! And director of our Celebrate Recovery Outreach Ministry, Jeremy Diulo. I think I got everybody. Is that not a beautiful and distinguished team to be sending out? We will call the rest of our Jesus House crew up a little bit later, but thank you all for coming forward. You may be seated. And if I could have Pastor Paul and Ainsley and Ed, could you come up here too as well, sweetie? Pastor Paul and Ainsley, and our Hope Chapel family. A couple of weeks ago, you gave Ed and I a plaque, and over the years, we've seen many people receive plaques, and we kind of lost it here on stage, realizing that, as we jokingly refer to it, the No Turning Back plaque. But you reminded us that really the plaque was an Ebenezer. It was a reminder of how God has helped us. And today, we want to return the favor. We have a plaque for you and Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, from Jesus House to mark this occasion. And this is a reminder to you and to all of us how you've helped us through. Now, you're our mother, and you have been pregnant for twice the normal, 18 months, we announced. March of 2017, we announced this baby. And like a mom pregnant, you've gone through a lot in the last 18 months. You have prayed for your child, faithfully prayed for your child. You've given up some foods, you've fasted for your child. You've worried about your child, and there's been some discomfort, and don't ever tell a mom that it's not okay to worry. It just comes, it's part of the job description to be concerned. So thank you for worrying about us. And you have also trimmed back financially to prepare for this child. You have allowed Jesus House members to begin tithing even last fall to give birth today. And lastly, you've talked to your baby. You've encouraged us. You've built us up. And we're so very thankful that you have poured into us and encouraged us to this day. So today, we want to present this plaque to you. It's not a no turning back, but rather it's a looking back, and we hope every time that you see it, you'll remember the way that you poured into a daughter church and God's faithfulness to you and to us and our gratitude to you. We love you, Pastor Paul and Ainsley and Hope Chapel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done. Very nice. Well done.
Well, I'm going to cherish this plaque. And if you didn't get the opportunity, it says Jesus House in honor of our mother church, Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, on the occasion of the launch of Jesus House Westminster, this ninth day of September 2018. Luke 14:24 is there, that my house may be filled. Yeah, beautiful. Well done. Thank you, Pastor Noelani. Thank you, Ed. Well, at this time, I want to just welcome my wife, Ainsley Harmon. Thank you, sweetie. This is a very exciting day. You're going to just bring some greetings, and I'm going to welcome our choir. As they assemble, Ainsley will be addressing and receiving tithes and offerings.
Good morning, everyone. This really is such an exciting day. We are very, very encouraged and excited at what the Lord is doing. I wanted to share a scripture from John chapter 17, and this was Jesus' prayer. He was praying for his own disciples, and we find that he was praying for us. In other words, everything that Jesus was doing in those last moments of preparation were to be looking for a day like today. And Jesus said in John 17:20, I do not pray for these alone, meaning his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Everything that we're doing today is about the gospel being preached in all the world that all might be saved. And so we're grateful for that. And as you're preparing your tithes and offerings this morning, just want to remind you that if your tithe is going to Jesus' house, if you're making out a check, still make it out to Hope Chapel, but put Jesus' house in the memo, and that will get there. Otherwise, mark your tithe envelope. We are so excited that we have the privilege to bless our daughter church as she's being born. But there are many things. This is a great week for Hope Chapel. And this day starts off a wonderful season for us here at Hope Chapel. Life groups are beginning. There's still time for you to, we'd like every person to be part of a life group. If you haven't already signed up for a life group, there will be opportunity to do that in the back. We have a project coming this Saturday, Nails in His Hands, meeting here at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. And it's going to be a work day here at Hope Chapel. We're asking that you would sign up for that as well if you're interested in that. Ladies, our Bible study starts this week. So 10 o'clock on Wednesday, we'll be meeting here in the sanctuary. So come join us for that study. And then we have our little ones ministry that's beginning again. And we are so excited about that ministry to our young moms and even nannies and grandparents who watch young children. They meet here on Thursdays from 10 to 11:30. Please come on out for the start of that. We would love for you to bring your children or your grandchildren to that particular event. Not to be missed, we have our response night tonight. So for those of you who want to worship the Lord and do that this evening, we welcome you to come back tonight at 7 o'clock. And then I also want to draw your attention. Did you see anything coming out of my pocket? We wanted to do something special to commemorate today. And thanks to the work of Helen Drake and a team of ladies that she had, we have a special Jesus House cookie for everyone that's here today. We're hoping that you're able to stay for lunch with us after the service ends. But if you find that you need to leave and you can't stay, there are cookies in the foyer. There will be other cookies that you'll be able to take as you leave. So please, we appreciate all the hard work that went into commemorating such a wonderful day. With that in mind, I'd like to invite our ushers, if you will come forward as we prepare ourselves to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful day of celebration that we have today. Lord, we're so excited at what you're doing. Lord, this was your design when you said, I'm not just praying for the men that are around me. I'm praying for those that will be reached through the gospel, through them, and for others who will still come and hear the good news. Lord, today is all about people hearing the good news, coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, bless these tithes and offerings. We offer them to you, knowing that they will go that the world might be saved. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Melanie Pickens, our director of Voices of Hope. Thank you, Voices of Hope. Well, as you notice on your program, the privilege I have to introduce our guests, but no guests because they're so entrenched and a part of this church because they were also on staff and then God called them into the missions of God's field work in El Salvador. And that's pastors Jared and Kelly Mueller. I want to welcome them and their sons, Ezra and Benjamin. Would you come and would you welcome them as they come to the stage? I'm wanting to make sure, first of all, it's just nice as I talk about you briefly because we want to hear from all of you, but I want everybody to be able to see what a joy it's been. It was 4 years ago that Jared felt called as he was leading a GO team from this church, as he was flying over really Central America, that he felt called to just do ministry and God directed to El Salvador. And as you know, and if you've ever seen and read anything of El Salvador, this is a courageous family. This is a powerful, God-appointed family. We're so honored and blessed to just talk about them. Everywhere Ainsley and I go, we say, do you know the Muellers? They've heard of you, all four of you. They're on constantly, at least once a day during the month, the FMI prayer chart, sometimes praying for the children. It's a unique and special call that this family has, and there's a whole group in our denomination called the Four Square Movement that is supportive and recognizes and understands the intensity with which they have picked up their entire household, their dreams and aspirations, and answered the call of God. So not only Jared and Kelly, but Ezra, their oldest, Benjamin as well, unique young men and just very gifted in their own right. And just recently, as they've become church planters, we thought, who finer could we have come and dress us today than church planters themselves? You are also a part, all of you a part. We know what it takes for a launch team. And so each one are fulfilling some role or some position on that church called Hope Chapel San Salvador. Hope Chapel, it sounds great, doesn't it? So I'm going to turn the stage over to you. And Kelly, we wanted to hear from you before Jared brings the message. And anything else that anyone else would like to share? So would you welcome them once again?
Well, good morning, church family. It's so good to be here and see so many familiar faces. And my family's here, too, to cheer us on, as they always do. And we're thankful for that. So we just also want to bring greetings from Hope Chapel San Salvador. They said, make sure you say hi to Hope Chapel mm-hmm. in Huntington Beach. And they actually asked, can we FaceTime while we're there so that we can see them? And I was like, well, I don't know if that'll work this time. But anyways, we just wanted to send you greetings from them. And also, we brought a couple pictures that we wanted to show you just to let you know what God has been doing in El Salvador. June 19th was our fourth year, so we're into our fifth year, which is really exciting, and God's been doing amazing things. October 8th was when we began to launch our church, so this coming October 8th will be our one-year anniversary.
Awesome.
Which is very exciting for us, and it's been really neat to see the church grow and the people that have come in and the lives that have been changed. I wish you guys could see just the people that have come in broken, and just not just broken because they don't have Jesus, but broken because they've been to other churches or other ministries and their hearts have been hurt and damaged. And so it's nice to see them come in and say, okay, this seems to be the right place for us, and we want to see Jesus grow in our hearts. And so for us to see people to come in like that is very exciting for us. And so Hope Chapel is what we're doing. Ezra plays on the band with Jared, and he plays the cajon, and he's really good at it. And our Ben, he plays, he doesn't play. No, I guess it is playing. He does the soundboard and helps with the computer and things like that, and he's very good at it. And then Jared and I do everything else. So, but anyways, I think there's a couple pictures I wanted to to just share with you. I think the first one, this was our very first day of church, October 8th, and this was a small team that we had, and there's Mario and Justin, and that's our little Hope. She didn't do anything. But anyways, this but she's always there. So this is our first day, and it was exciting to see our hearts be excited about what the Lord is going to do in and through us. And so then there's another picture. This is once we started Hope Chapel in our new facility. We grew so much we couldn't be in the church and the house anymore, so this is our new facility that we're renting from another church. And this is our recent OSL group, and our biggest OSL group. And it's really neat to see their hearts long for more. This OSL class, they're like, when are you going to do the next one? When are you going to do the next one? Because it's stuff they've never heard before. That some of them, their perspective might be a little warped or a little twisted in some areas, but to be able to teach them things that they've never known before or learned before, it's like looking in a mirror for the first time at yourself. And it's exciting. So this is our group of OSL students. Then there's a next picture. And this is the facility that we're renting from. There's our little sign. It's a big church, but we're back behind the white minivan is our little Hope Chapel. But we are growing, and so we've been speaking to the church about moving into the sanctuary because we're very close inside this little room. So that's exciting. And the last picture, we just did a youth event, and these were all the youth that came, and it was an exciting event just to see the Lord move in hearts and these youth, their hearts to desire more of the Lord is just super exciting. And so not all of them are from our church, but it was neat to have them there. And so we are hoping and longing for a great youth event to happen through Hope Chapel. As the country, El Salvador, is very young, the youth are going to change the country, and we're going to be a part of that. So anyways, we just want to thank you guys for partnering with us, for being a part of what God is doing in El Salvador, just not only financially, but prayerfully, and encouraging words and believing in us. We couldn't do it without you guys. So we just want to send greetings and thanks for everything. We sure love you guys.
Well, do you have your Bibles with you this morning? All right. Thank you, David. Thank you, David. As we say, abróchense su cinturón, buckle your seatbelt. We have a lot to get through in the scripture this morning. I have a word on my heart for you guys this morning, and we still have to pray off a church plant. So we got a lot of business to take care of this morning. But my name's Jared Mueller. That's my beautiful wife, Kelly. I just want to thank, you saw the church council out up here earlier, the missions committee. I want to thank you guys personally for sustaining us, maintaining us, being with us. You're keeping us on the field, and we're just getting started. I feel like we're just getting going. I'm inspired to be here. I need to see what's going on here so that we can go back charged up. We've been encouraging our church plant. They're actually going to be meeting this afternoon, but they're down there in El Salvador. We have a pastoral couple taking care of the church while we're gone. Danny and Helmaria, Puerto Rican couple. They're taking care of the worship, and then the others that you saw up there, they're taking care of our home while we're gone. So I want to thank you for that, and also just encourage the foresight and the insight that our pastors have had, Paul and Ainsley, to see people, which are the church, as gifts of God, and to see the potential. That's how a church plant happens. It happens as an idea, but that idea can get squelched if you don't have visionary leadership saying, I believe in that. As it said about Jesus, he will not squelch a smoldering wick. And many of us have been smoldering wicks, and we need to be fanned into flame as Paul did with Timothy. And that's what we're going to share with you this morning, as Paul encouraged a young pastor, Timothy. So would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we ask that your word would come alive this morning. We ask that the words that were penned hundreds of years ago by an apostolic figure over a young pastor, Lord, that those words would come back alive in our hearts today, because there are many people that have been called to pastor. It may be a church plant in Jesus' house. It may be their family. It may be their neighborhood. But you've called us to minister. But Lord, we need to hear these words that Paul used to encourage Timothy, so that we can be charged up and we can be sent out and we can receive the calling and embrace what you've called us to, Lord. I pray you bless your word this morning. Help me to share what you've placed in my heart, and help everyone to receive a personal word from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read all of the verses, and this is where we're going to spend our time in the scriptures this morning. Usually we read together in El Salvador because we all have the same version, but I won't have you read with me because you're probably reading from a different version. I have the English Standard Version here, but I'm going to read just verse 13 through 16 this morning. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." The title of this message was "Until I Come." And we are a four-square church, and you can see the four-square symbols up there. We have Jesus Baptizer, Jesus Savior, Jesus Healer, and Jesus the Coming King. And one of those four squares, that fourth square that we often don't talk about a lot is Jesus is Coming King. But that was really, really important for our founders, because they realized that they needed to live as though Jesus could come at any moment, because really he could. But we sometimes have left that part of Foursquare aside. And this is Paul writing to Timothy, but it could have been Jesus writing to us as well, saying, until I come, there are certain things that you need to be about. Until I arrive, I want you to do these things. And we get distracted, and sometimes we forget that Jesus is coming. And we live as though, well, he's going to come sometime, but it's been 2,000 years. And Paul was reminding Timothy, wait, I'm coming. Jesus is coming. You need to dedicate yourself to these things. So we can learn a lot from this, what Paul's sharing with Timothy this morning. He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. You need to devote yourself to the Scriptures, to the Word of God. And I said, be in, under, and about the Word. What that means is be in the Word personally, daily, meditating on it. If you've had an opportunity to take OSL, the jewel of that program is that you're in the Word, but also be under the Word, meaning that when you come to a place like this, you need to be under the Word. You need to receive preaching. Nowadays, we can receive podcasts, and I love that down there. I feel like I'm in a vacuum sometimes. I don't receive preaching, so I have to be self-feeding. But that's good, but also you need to be in a congregation like this. This morning, as I'm sharing, the Holy Spirit's speaking things to you, and they may not even be the words I'm using. We need to be under the Word, and we need to be about the Word, meaning what you receive, you go and you give to others, and you share that, and you do what the Word's called you to do. How do we do that? Well, we need to know what he's speaking to us specifically. In your bulletins, there's a couple notes, but I picked this passage. I'm not going to read all of it. But in Matthew 25, Jesus has a parable about 10 virgins, which were basically women that were going to prepare for a wedding. They would be like the bridesmaids, but they didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. And five of them, it says, had enough oil for their lamps, but five of them just had the oil that was in their lamps. Now, the bridegroom came at midnight, later than they expected. And then this passage says, the wise that had prepared more oil said to them, they asked them, please give us some oil for our lamps, because our lamps are going to run out and we don't want to leave. And they said, no. They said, since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. What's the purpose of this parable? We need to be prepared. I think we grossly overestimate our ability to stay passionate for the Lord. we think that we can just kind of minimalize our Bible reading, or I really only need to go to church maybe once a month. I'm good. You good? I'm good. We're all good. We're not good because Jesus is coming. Do we live as though Jesus was coming? Are we prepared? Could he come? Could he call you right now to do something? Are you prepared? Or are you off buying oil because you forgot? You got distracted. You got busy. I mean, life is busy. This is an intentional preparation that he's calling us to do. So how do we stay on task? How do we stay on task? I'm glad you asked. We're going to check this out in verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Do you know the prophecy spoken over you? We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Do you know specifically, not just generally, do you have specific words? Do you have marching orders? How do you plan a church without having specific words that you have written down, that you have returned to, that you have come back to, reaffirming that? You guys are seeing the celebration of a church plant today. What you don't see is the years when it was just a smoldering wick, when it was just a prophecy, when it was very easy to let the seed die. And yes, they have visionary pastors, Paul and Ainsley, to breathe that life into them. But I have chosen, and I write down these words and I go back to them when I feel lost, when I feel confused. Paul was writing that to Timothy. Timothy, remember, I prayed over you. You remember your grandmother. She prophesied that you would be a pastor. Do you remember brother so-and-so, the Greek guy, you know, the tall guy? Remember the word he gave you about how you're going to see the sick healed? Do you remember that? Go back to that. And we think, well, if it's a prophetic word, it's just going to happen. Biblical prophecy, we have to engage it. There's a force in that, but we have to come back to it. We have to remember the words that were spoken over us. That's what we're seeing realized today. Psalm 139 is a beautiful psalm with a funny little addition in there. And this is David explaining that the Lord has plans for you. Psalm 139. Right about in the middle of the scripture, just after the psalm that we read this morning. Psalm 139, and we want to pick it up here at verse 17. David writes, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." God doesn't have one, two, three, maybe four thoughts for you. He has a whole book written for you, as this psalm tells us. "If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you." And then it shifts. This is interesting. You'd think it comes from another psalm. He says, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me." We were just in this warm, fuzzy psalm, the one that everybody loves, about God embracing us, dreaming about us. And he says, "Would you kill the bad guys?" And we were just studying this the other week in our men's Bible study and thought, this is out of place, but it's not. It's not out of place. Verse 20, "They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord?" Where's the love, David? Come on. "Oh, do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies." And then David says, after he's kind of let out all this steam, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting." You guys, if you want to do great things for God, you're going to read a biblical example. Look at Gideon. Gideon has an angel show up to him, and normally when an angel shows up, people fall on their face. Gideon's response is different. The angel says, "Oh, mighty man of valor," who's hiding. And then Gideon's response is, "If God is with us, why is all this happening?" The same frustration David had, Gideon was walking through. Daniel. I was just reading Daniel chapter 9. That psalm that we, or that prophecy from Jeremiah, we all love to proclaim over people, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "I know the thoughts I have towards you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future." We love that. And I'm not saying you can't use that, but you need to read verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And after 70 years." Now, I'm not saying you can't pray that over somebody and say you got to wait 70 years. But what did Daniel do? Daniel says in Daniel chapter 9, "I perceived as I read the words of the law by the prophet Jeremiah that the time of 70 years was done." Jeremiah had the exact interpretation of that passage. He said, it said that my plans for you are to prosper you after 70 years. He went back to the prophecy. He said, God, 70 years is up. And he began to pray. Now, what happened after he began to pray? Then God stirs up another man, Nehemiah, who got a report. He had a cushy job, cushy government job. I mean, all he did was take the cup to the king. Come on. Taste the king's cup, take it to him. Great job. But he got a bad report about Jerusalem. And it says, I went and I fasted and I prayed. My heart was torn within me. So what David is doing here, he says, God, your thoughts towards me are magnificent. Don't be surprised when you receive a prophetic word if you don't get frustrated. The problem we often do is we feel this, somebody speaks over us, and then we blame the pastor. Well, Bill James came and gave me a word, and Pastor Paul's not releasing it in me. And I've seen Pastor Paul do this. I love how he does it. People come into his office, and they say, Pastor Paul, I have a wonderful idea for what you should do. And he says, I think God's called you to do it. They don't want to hear that. He's not bothered by it. He's not bothered by the fact that, I'm not saying he's not. I'm just giving a general example. Okay, maybe you see people that don't have any food to eat and you're living in Huntington Beach. It bothers you. Pastor Paul should do something about that. I'm going to tell him so. I'm going to get a meeting with him. I'm going to tell him all about it. And Pastor Paul will say, I think God's called you to do it. It's the same frustration David had. After he received the prophetic word from the Lord, he got discontent. Don't be surprised. Most of us think all I need is one more word from the Lord and my life will be peace. Don't be surprised if when you receive a word from the Lord, maybe even today, maybe as you see this church launched out, you say, there's something in me that's not content. I'm frustrated. God, somebody needs to do something about that. God says, I've called you to do it because it bothers you, because you can't sleep at night. Okay? We think, well, God's just going to give us peace. Nehemiah didn't sleep when he was concerned about Jerusalem. He walked all the way around the city. There are times when you don't have peace in your heart, and that can be God speaking to you also. We have things that keep us up at night, and my wife not as much as me, but I have things that keep me up at night in El Salvador. Those are things that God's calling me to do. Now what I need to do is figure out how to do it. Okay, so that's the prophetic word that we have. And finally, verse 16, go back to 1 Timothy, verse 16, he says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. You have to guard the prophetic words. They will slip through your fingers. Write them down. One of the podcasts I listen to, Bill Johnson, occasionally, he says he has a binder of them. He just reads his own prophecies. That seems kind of egocentrical, but it's not. Remind yourself of what God has spoken over you. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Paul writing to Timothy a little bit later on, reminding him again of these things. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen, and with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I can't think of any more bad things to say about a society. But has anybody walked around in Huntington Beach and seen a few of these? I have in San Salvador. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. This really hit me. Always learning but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Guys, if there was ever a time when we should be godly, if there was ever a time when we got enough riches and resources to walk with God, it should be now. But we're always learning. We always need one more teaching. I just got to hear from God. He's given it to you. He's told you what. I just got to hear from God. No, do what he's told you to do. We have enough, but we just keep learning and learning and learning. But we can't arrive at the truth. Why? Because truth is a practice thing. God will not give you more revelation if you're not obedient in what he's given you already. If you want to see God move, if you want to get a fresh word from God, do what he told you to do and do it with all your heart. But it's work. We had a great opportunity to go to the East Coast. I was able to navigate our flight so that we went to the East Coast for a couple nights before we came here. And I wanted our boys to know their country. So we went to Washington, D.C. My wife had never been there. I'd been a school teacher. I got to go there once, and I went there with convention with Pastor Paul and Ainsley. We went from Memorial Day up to Arlington Cemetery, and we went back there to see the changing of the guard. The day we went, President Trump was there. We couldn't get in. So, but this time we got to go back there, and I think there's a picture of that. I want to read you something about this, okay? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying to be followers of God, we need to do everything they do. But I want to read a couple things about the changing of the guard, those who actually guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Since July 2nd, 1937, the Tomb of the Unknowns has been guarded continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And since that time, inclement weather, terrorist attacks, etc., do not cause the watch to cease. A guard takes an average of 6 hours to prepare their uniform. Okay, what's it take to be a guard? Interestingly, you don't have to have a special selection. You only need to be a part of this regiment. I think it's the 3rd Army Infantry Regiment. And all you have to do is knock on the door and ask them if you can apply. Now, after that, if you fill out the application, yes, there's more you have to do. First of all, with your uniform, you can only have 2 minor infractions and no major infractions on your uniform, meaning it needs to be perfect. A minor infraction is if one item on your uniform is more than a 64th of an inch out of place. There are more than 100 points of inspection. Okay, think of taking a test at school, and 97% fails. They've never given 100%, so you're either between 98 and 99% to pass the test, but they don't give 100. You're never perfect. This was interesting to me. The knowledge, the newmen are required to memorize 17-page packet of information on the cemetery and write it out, including punctuation. In order to pass, you can't have more than 10 mistakes. They know up to 300, I think it's at least 300 graves that they know where they're situated. And they spend the time, even part of this 17 pages are poems about the dignity of the tomb which they're guarding. And then with their performance, they have a 200 points of inspection, no major infractions and only 2 minor ones. It's the foot placement, it's the cadence that they march. It's very, very exacting. And this really struck me because Paul was telling Timothy, keep watch. This is what our government does to keep watch of a tomb out of respect. And if you ask them, I heard one interviewed, they say, when are you guarding it till? We guard the tomb. There's no finish. Same thing with us. How long, Lord? I mean, Jesus' house, how long is this assignment? How long is our assignment in El Salvador? I'll tell you when it's done. How long are we going to keep planting churches and when I come back? You'll know when you're finished. There's going to be a trumpet. Don't worry about it. That's the preparation. And for me, that struck me. Now, I want to be careful that I don't impose that and say, well, we need to do all of these requirements in order to be worthy, preaching in Spanish, in order to be worthy to serve the Lord. No, because that ends up being a distorted thing called legalism. No, but I think that we can learn something about the knowledge. If I'm going to serve the Lord, then I better know his words toward me. Then I better receive his personal words toward me. And we're going to keep watch. We're going to keep watch until he comes back. In just a minute, I'm going to invite the band up. But before I do that, I want to give you a chance to respond. What are your marching orders? What needs to be cut off? What's holding you back? It said, do not neglect the prophecies. What are you neglecting? Okay. And I'll tell you, it's already come to your mind if you have something. And immediately after it comes to your mind, you're justifying, well, that wasn't the Lord. That's exactly what it is. Now, it's not necessarily a gross or hidden sin, not necessarily that. Most of the things that keep us from fulfilling these things are good things that we probably dedicate a little too much time to. Those guards of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that is not a passive role. That medal actually is the second least given medal. The first one is the astronaut one, which there's only a certain amount of room in the spaceships for that medal. So that's not common to do that. It's not common to be a believer. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying it's not common to be a believer that really gives everything to completing all of the words, all of the dreams that Psalm 139 says that God has realized for you. Because it takes a very extreme intentionality to do that. But I think I'm in a special house this morning. And I think this is full of people that God is stirring up to do that. Don't let the doubts, don't let the I'm not qualified, don't let the I could have taken that role, but because of this and this and this, I can't. No, whatever the Lord's calling you to do this morning, I want to pray for you to do that. And before the band even comes, I just want to ask you, I'm not going to ask you what it is. It could be something that I know what I need to let go, or I know what I need to dedicate myself to. But I'm going to ask you just to put your hand up. If you want to say before the Lord, this is something, I know there's something in my heart that I need to do this morning. Would you stand with me? Why don't you raise your whole body? Stand up with me. I got my hand up. There are things that I know that I'm called to do right now. And I need to dedicate myself to them. I need to cut off those distractions. Lord, I pray for this body this morning. Lord, I pray that your power come upon them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you cut those distractions off. Lord, even the good things, Lord, where the enemy has sought to come in and you have planted seeds of prophetic words, Lord, that have waited. I want to be like Daniel this morning. I say, Lord, the 70 years is up. The 70 years has finished. And as Jesus' house moves out of this house, there will be vacancies. The Lord is reshuffling the deck. You can get back into the game. There's opportunities. Not only are there opportunities, there are needs. There are things that will not be fulfilled unless you step up and you step in. This is a sending out, but this is also a receiving of a new call. Lord, I pray over the church council in this place. I pray over the pastoral staff. Lord, that you will use them to be visionaries, to call out in those who you are calling up, Lord, to do ministry, Lord. And I pray even for that frustration. Lord, I don't pray for peace until they have accomplished what you've called them to. Lord, I pray that you even rub into that thing, make that frustration grow until they can release, Lord, the ministry, Lord. Home group leaders, Lord, life group leaders in this place. Jesus, I pray that you let your hand of grace be upon them. New worship team members in this place, Lord. New children's ministers in this place, Lord. And I pray that you pour out the prophetic gifts. I pray that you pour out the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this place. Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, and Jesus House will be houses where people know, no, you got to go there because you will receive healing. You need to go there because you're going to receive a word from the living God. Lord, these are the end times when people will be lovers of self, when people will be lovers of their own ways, Lord. And this is the time that we need to come together and we need to stand. We need to prepare our uniform. We need to fill our minds with your word. We need to prepare ourselves for the work that you've played, that you placed before us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you remain standing, I want to read one more verse. This is from 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul writes to Timothy, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you." Here he goes again, reminding them of the prophecies. But he says this, "that by them you may wage the good warfare." How do we wage warfare in the kingdom? By knowing what God's called you to do. If you don't know what God's called you to do, you fast, you pray, you whatever it needs. You go to get a meeting with Pastor Paul and Ainsley. Find out what God's called you to do. You can't wage war if you don't know where you're assigned. If you don't know what regiment you're in, you don't know what to do. You need to get your marching orders. And I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of space in this church. If you feel like I got something in me and I just don't know where to put it, talk to your pastors. They'll call it out of you. What is it? I don't know. Maybe learn Vietnamese. I'm serious. There's a Vietnamese community here. Something that nobody's doing. Do it. If you don't know what that marching order is, get your marching orders from the Lord and fulfill them. And by that, you wage war. You know, in the kingdom, we don't go out and beat people up. We don't take arms out. How do we do it? By knowing what we're called to do and sticking to it. And I'm not going to leave it, and I'm not going to budge from it. Just if you would close your eyes with me this this morning too, I want to ask one more thing. If you have not turned your life over to Jesus, that means you don't know his voice. That means you can't receive those marching orders from him because you haven't given your life over to him. The first thing you can do right now, the best thing that you can do right now, is say, Jesus, I commit my life to you. If there's anyone in this place this morning, even if you have a doubt, if you're not sure, I just want to ask you if you would slip your hand up this morning, that you need to give your life to Jesus this morning. See a couple hands back there. Anyone else? Give you a couple more seconds. Anyone else that hasn't given their life over to the Lord this morning? Or maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to come back. Just raise your hand before the Lord and before me. Nobody else is looking around. Say, Lord, I want to come back. I want to be on your team. I want to re-engage. Amen. Now, for the sake of those three that raised their hands this morning, would you all pray with me? Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I receive your word. And in exchange, I give you my heart. Have your way in me. From this day forward, I will serve you. I want to be on your team. I want to fulfill your destiny for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank Jared Mueller for that outstanding charge. Amazing. That kind of spirit that he just displayed is what's carrying him, his family, and fruitful ministry in El Salvador. Aren't we proud of the Muellers? And that kind of spirit that gets a lot of work done. Hard work. And the stop gaps are no stop gaps for the Muellers. They know they're called. They've been commissioned by the Lord. Just a moment now, we're going to be commissioning a lot of people from this church and from other churches that say, I want to be a part of a brand new church for the sake of lost souls, Westminster and beyond. So while our worship team is singing this and leading us in worship, I'm going to invite those who are going to be a part of the church plant, Jesus House, Westminster, to start assembling yourself and stand in the front. Shall we worship the Lord together? And while the team, church planting, all of you start coming. to God. It's His church. Nobody owns no one. We are bought by Him. Well, I'm going to welcome my wife, Ainsley. If you would bring Pastor Noelani and Ed Jai to the platform, please. We're about to have all of us extend our hands in a moment. Pray a blessing upon this new church that's being formatted, developed, and released in just a few moments. I wanted to tell you how I'm going to pray, Pastor. I want to, first of all, give something to you. This was actually given to me by a church planter. So it is two pieces of tool, planting instrument and pruning instrument. You're going to be planting and pruning for further fruitfulness and new life. Planting for new life. Pruning so further fruitfulness can come. We know it's the Father who does that. So therefore, this now becomes yours. You are not just a church planter, you will also plant churches. You will plant vision and ministry into the lives of others. That is your commission. Jesus House members, I want to now pray for a change of heart in your DNA. What do I mean by that? Well, it's interesting because looking at Jesus House website, it has Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and compel them to come in that there might be what? Room in my house. But the verse in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, when Jesus was calling four guys in particular, and they're pretty much a dynamo, but he caught them on the Sea of Galilee where we were at. And those individuals were Andrew, his brother Peter, James, and John. Four guys, and this is what he said, come follow me, and I will make you become, I like that, make you become fishers of men. That's what I'm now going to pray. Why do I need to pray that for Jesus House launch team? Is that your DNA would change. Your DNA right now is you just have transfer growth. That's where you have, all of you have been a part of a church at one time or another. And though that's helpful when starting a church, you want every nose on board. But I want to pray and have our church lead in prayer. The DNA would be, you become fishers of men. You become. We're asking you to go and save lost people in Westminster. If I wanted you personally to stay here and we just kind of all disciple each other and further great discipling materials and wonderful Bible studies and great food and interaction, we would just keep you under one house. And some churches do that. Some churches say, let's bigger buildings so that we can maintain transfer growth. But not so with Jesus House. Jesus is calling you. It's, matter of fact, the name of your new church, Jesus House. Come follow Jesus, and He will make you become fishers of men. So would you extend your hands toward these wonderful, dedicated individuals we heard described so perfectly by our own missionary and church planner, Jared Mueller. Father, we want to thank you right now, first of all, for Pastor Noelani Jai. Now, Lord, she's going to be just that, a planter, and you're going to use her to prune. New life through her, and pruning where it needs to take on greater growth and fruitfulness. We bless her husband, Ed. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness over him. The dedication of a godly man, equally called, equally anointed. That the team, Lord, start right here from the top leadership. May their church, Jesus House, and may Hope Chapel, their sending church, cover them even now as we do. Protect them, guide them, watch over them. And may they have the strength of Almighty God. Lord, for their church now, as we extend over each and every one, young and old alike, and they've been pastored so well. Even the young ones are doing very mature ministry. But that, Lord, you change their DNA. If they have not invited anybody to their current church in a long time, And Lord, change their heart for the lost till you come. Move them to go out into the highways, compelling, working, inviting, desirous, weeping, calling on you, Almighty God, to save their relatives and to save their community, and in particular, save Westminster, California. So, Lord, we're asking, Lord, a change of heart, that they would be willing to say, I've had enough nourishment, nurturing, and discipling. I have what it takes now to go and lead others to salvation in Jesus Christ. And may Jesus' house grow and flourish, and may their numbers increase, and give them an adequate dwelling place where your ministry can continue to flourish and be blessed. Protect the church council. Lord, give the church council great wisdom and support. May they steward the resources, but understand the vision of their pastor and affirm and have faith in their heart to say, we believe God has spoken to you, Pastor. So we thank you now. We release this wonderful group, dedicated group, and we're going to celebrate together, Lord. We are not we nor them. We are all one team. And now how blessed we are, called Hope Chapel, to be able to release great gifts to the city of Westminster. Oh God, save the city. Save the cultures that are represented. Save the languages that are represented in Westminster. Give great favor to this church, and may Westminster one day say our greatest, most vibrant, most fruitful church is Jesus' House of Westminster. Lord, we thank you for this and give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Let's applaud the Lord, shall we, and thank him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.